Okay, you got a plan, or shall I just stay duck and cover?
My plan was to drive us away.
Well, your plan sucks.
That's a scene from Marvel's Black Widow, which opened in theaters and on Disney Plus early last month to great fanfare. But now Black Widow star Scarlett Johansson is suing Disney, who owns Marvel Studios, over that simultaneous release, saying that it violated an agreement that the film would open in movie theaters only. Joining me to talk about the lawsuit and for a check-in on how Hollywood is doing these days and in the summer movie season is KPCC Entertainment reporter John Horn. Welcome back, John.
Happy to be with you.
So let's start with this Black Widow lawsuit. What's at issue here?
Well, it's important to note she sued Disney, but that's not with whom she had her contract. She had her contract with Marvel. And the whole idea is that if she sues Marvel, it goes to arbitration and the whole thing is secret. She says Disney interfered with her contract with Marvel, which makes it a public lawsuit. So, yes, there is the instant case of Scarlett Johansson saying that she was robbed of a lot of money because the film went on Disney Plus and in theaters at the same time. But this is much bigger than that. She is represented by Brian Lord, a very powerful talent agent, and the Creative Artists Agency. They have tons of people who are in Scarlett's case. So the question is this litigation aimed at kind of reforming the way these contracts are written? Because Scarlett's people say that she could have made $50 million more if her contract had been adhered to and the film had only come out in theaters. Mm-hmm. I think that's a little bit of a reach because it assumes the movie was going to be a huge hit, and so far it isn't.
And how has Disney responded here?
Well, Disney has said that they adhered to the contract and that she's already been paid $20 million. So you could say, yeah, that's a lot of money, but if she was entitled to more, you know, it doesn't mean anything. So the question now is, did Scarlett Johansson's camp try to renegotiate her contract with Marvel? Because the sequence is she's about to make the film. Bob Iger, the head of Disney, says we're going to launch a streaming service. And Scarlett's representatives say to Marvel, this feels like it might change things. Marvel replies and say, if it does, we're going to renegotiate. We don't know what happened. We don't know if Scarlett made an offer and Disney refused it, or if the offer was too big or too small, whatever. We don't know what happened, but we do know that the film didn't do well, and the National Association of Theater Owners, which kind of speaks for all movie theaters, said the reason it didn't do well is because it was on Disney Plus, and it dropped off precipitously. In fact, it's one of the worst performing Marvel movies that Disney has released, and it collapsed so badly in its second weekend, it also was the sharpest downfall for any modern Marvel movie in its second weekend.
Well, that's really interesting. So what kind of effect does a simultaneous release in theaters and on streaming have then?
It's very hard to tell. This movie dropped off sharply, but then you can look at F9, the most recent Fast and Furious movie. It wasn't on any streaming service, and it opened pretty well, like to $70 million, but then it fell 67% in its second weekend. So you could say the diehard fans are coming out to see Black Widow and F9 the first weekend, but the other people are staying home. So it does feel like, you know, something is fundamentally shifting. And there's a research organization that tracks consumer confidence in being in theaters and feeling safe. And that number is dropping as well as the Delta variant spikes. So I think this is a bell that can't be unrung. People are used to streaming. The numbers for subscriber growth at Netflix, at Peacock, NBC Universal's new streaming site are all going up. So I think it's really going to be hard for theaters to come back as vibrant as they were before the pandemic.
So tell us more about these new habits of moviegoers. People are generally not venturing back into theaters?
Not at all. And there are a lot of movies that people would have expected to do really well. I mean, In the Heights was a movie that I really loved. I saw it in a theater, but not a lot of other people did. And even though it was a lot better than a year ago, where we were in the height of the pandemic, if you compare the second quarter of this year at the box office, the total gross was $500 million. If you go back 2 years pre-pandemic, the July box office was $1.3 billion. Mm. So just the month of July, it's gone from $1.3 billion to $500
million. Wow.
Yes, some theaters are still not open, and yes, some have capacity restrictions, but that's less than half the business from 2 years ago, and that to me would be a very worrisome sign for theater owners.
So are studios rethinking then holding their movies for theatrical release down the road at some point, given those numbers that you just told us?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, that was certainly the case with Black Widow. This is a movie that was postponed for more than a year by the pandemic. But you know, one of the things that's an issue for the studios is they invest. I mean, to release a big movie like this, it cost almost $500 million. You've got maybe $300 million in production, maybe another $200 million in marketing and promotion. So you have invested that money. And if it's just sitting on your shelf and you're not getting any return on it, you know, that starts to cost a lot of money in terms of interest. So I don't know that they're going to hold a lot of movies. You know, Warner Brothers famously, or if you're a theater owner, infamously said all of its movies this year were going to debut in theaters and on HBO Max or some other pay-per-view platform. So it feels like that's the direction that studios are going in. So they're not going to sit on their movies. The kinds of movies they're going to make and release may be changing fundamentally, though.
So the pandemic has had a lasting impact on Hollywood.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I'll give you a very good example. There's a movie that 20th Century Fox made called Everybody's Talking About Jamie, and it's based on the British musical of the same name. But you might remember that Disney bought most of Fox a little more than 2 years ago for more than $70 billion, right? So along with that sale comes this lovely little musical, Everybody's Talking About Jamie. But Disney's focus is on big brands like Lucasfilm and Pixar and Marvel. So Disney sold Everybody's Talking About Jamie to Amazon. Disney, and I suspect some other companies, would look at a movie like that and say, wow, it's a great little film, but we have no place for it because it doesn't satisfy what we need to do in theaters or as kind of a loss leader or something that would attract new subscribers to a streaming platform.
What about theatrical production in Hollywood, John? We've been seeing reports of sets being shut down because of positive COVID-19 tests. Are people generally able to work again in Hollywood? And how does that all impact what we see or are able to watch in the months ahead?
No, I mean, it's starting to be a real issue. I mean, there's certain shows that have shut down and then restarted. There's an HBO series called House of the Dragon. It's a prequel of sorts to Game of Thrones. But one of the key issues right now is testing. I talked to a producer recently, and he said when you had to start daily COVID tests again and ramp up safety protocols, he was losing about 2 hours a day in filming. And so that not only costs money, but it also means production times are going to be longer. There was not a lot of production going on during the pandemic, so that kind of extends how few new movies there are going to be. There are certain companies like Netflix that works well ahead of time because they have to translate their films or dub their films into many languages. But it certainly means, like, at a certain point, the cupboards could get dry again because there's not enough production to fill the demand probably 6-9 months from now.
And then there are the film festivals. We just had the Cannes Film Festival, which did have in-person events and screenings. But with COVID cases rising in many parts of the world, I wonder if you think some of these other festivals will be able to go on this year.
It's a great question. I mean, I'm set to go over Labor Day weekend to the Telluride Film Festival in Colorado. It's one of my favorite festivals, and it falls, you know, between the equally important festivals in Venice and Toronto. These are incredibly important launching pads for all of the quality films that come out in the end of the year. I haven't seen many of them, but I know some of the films that are going to be playing at these festivals. These are good movies that are going to compete for Academy Awards. So, yes, right now they're still supposed to happen, but I think the world is changing by the minute.
Okay, John, give us some suggestions then for films we should be checking out in the theater or on streaming.
I'm going to recommend a couple. Stillwater has its critics. I think it's a really interesting film. There's a new documentary called Whirlybird that I would highly recommend. It's an interesting look at a helicopter pilot couple that covered the news in Los Angeles, most famously during the Rodney King uprising. And boy, I guess, you know, if you didn't see it, go see In the Heights. I mean, it's one of my favorite movies. It kind of came and went very quickly. It's not in theaters anymore, but you can watch it at home. Maybe you're going to have to get a Disney Plus subscription, but I think it's completely worth checking out.
I saw In the Heights in the theater a couple weekends ago, and attendance was sparse. But I have to say, John, there was more cheering, more laughter, more enjoyment in that theater than I can remember. So it was good to be back in some form.
Yeah, I did the same, and I would add to that list a lot of tears. I mean, I think it's a really beautifully moving film. And again, it's exactly what the theaters are designed for. That's the kind of movie that you want to see with a crowd. And the fact that people didn't want to, and now that you can't, to me is really sad.
We've been checking in on Hollywood with KPCC entertainment reporter John Horn. John, thanks as always.
Thank you, Jane.